In the name of Allah, the most merciful and kind, you are about to listen to an audio representation of the life of the Prophet Muhammad. It does not replace a thorough studying of his life. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
Chapter 11, The Prince of Nothing. Haswara Market, Mecca. An ordinary day in the holy city. Shoppers toured the stalls and stands, while beggars pestered them for bread or coins. The souk was calm and collected.
Oh my god, what's that smell? I know that it could be only one person!
The teenage girls dropped the necklaces they were inspecting and turned towards the southern gate.
Oh my god, please be him, please be him, please be him.
A purebred white Arabian horse trotted into the market. At the sight of its rider, the girls all but lost their minds.
Hello, ladies.
It's Mus'ab ibn Umayr!
Mus'ab ibn Umayr rode into the market on his white horse, his boyish grin revealing pearl-like teeth.
Oh my god, he's so cute.
Mus'ab, I love your horse!
Hey, thanks, Habibti.
He called me Habibti.
He called me Habibti!
Mus'ab ibn Umayr from the Banu Abd al-Dawr was young and handsome. His clothes were woven with the finest silk, embroidered with silver threads. The oud he wore was so strong that it permeated the entire market, which had now chosen Mus'ab as the center of attention. He smiled and waved at the crowd who had gathered at his horse.
Hey, hey, look who it is. It's Mus'ab ibn Umayr. Here you go, man. Some fresh bread from my bakery.
Ah, thank you, sir. You're too kind.
Please, young sir, can you show some charity?
There you go, man. Get yourself something nice.
You're so handsome, Mus'ab.
Thanks. You're not so bad yourself.
Please, buy from my store, Mus'ab.
No, buy from mine.
Ah, oh, come on, ladies. I only came here to do a little shopping.
Aww.
All right, you know what? Just one song wouldn't hurt now, would it?
Mus'ab expertly dismounted his horse. A servant presented an instrument on a velvet pillow. Two bodyguards with spears formed a line to keep the teen girls a reasonable distance away. Another servant removed Mus'ab's white cape. Mus'ab sat right in the middle of the road. A servant placed a cushion under him before he even touched the ground.
All right, everyone, here's a classic one just for you.
I passed by the home where Layla would stay. The walls whisper softly, they call her name. I touch this wall and that one too. It's not the walls that took my heart. It was always you. It's not the stone, it's not the clay. It's not the curtain in my way. It's not the home, it's not the wall. It's the lovely lady living behind it all. Layla, Layla, Layla. For you I am Majnoon. Layla, Layla, Layla. I'm coming for you soon. Layla, Layla, Layla. For you, I am Majnoon. Layla, Layla, Layla. I'm coming for you soon.
He looked at me! He looked at me!
Aw, you guys are the best. I love you all. Gotta go.
Marry me, Mus'ab.
Mus'ab ibn Umayr was led away by his servants as his bodyguards tried to manage the hysterical girls. Mus'ab turned a corner into an alleyway, his servants pulling his white horse in another direction. This diversion was one of the only ways he could get some privacy. Meeting him at the mouth of the alley, an elegantly dressed woman crossed her arms at him.
Oh, hey, Mom.
Can't we ever do a little shopping without you causing a scene?
It was just one song. I didn't think it was a big deal.
His mother pinched his cheek lovingly. Despite her frown, she had a sly smile that betrayed how she really felt about the attention he received.
Sooner or later, you're going to have to request a maiden's hand for marriage. And she will not take kindly to seeing so many silly girls groveling over you.
They're not groveling, Mom. They're just...
Back straight, son. And let us not waste any more time.
The two of them walked at a leisurely pace at the backside of the alley. This street was all but empty. Khannas, Musab's mother, had arranged a private viewing of the luxury goods of the market.
I was thinking of starting with shoes and making our way up. Look, those new silk sheets have arrived.
I have silk sheets already. How many layers does a guy need on his bed?
Oh, look. These rings are gorgeous. Look at the pearl on that one.
Come on, Mom. I only have 10 fingers. How am I supposed to fit another ring on?
Somebody has to keep your looks in mind. You have a very important meeting today, and I won't have you looking like a charity case. First impressions are everything, and I want you to appear stunning.
You're saying I don't already look good?
Khannas put down the ring and brushed Musab's cheek.
My sweet prince, you are the most handsome young man I've ever seen.
Are you going to tell him that?
You're going to love him. After today, your opinion about him will change.
Mom, he already has 3 wives, and he's so full of himself. I don't know why you would...
I am not saying he is going to be like your father. But if you give him a chance, you might really end up...
I'm doing this for you, Mom, but I'm not going to be anything more than polite.
And that's all I can ask from you. But please, dress to impress. I can get that tailor from Yemen to put something together for you. Custom shoes, custom turban.
No need. I already picked something out.
All right, then. I trust you. Please, just present yourself well.
Don't worry, Mom. I got it.
I love you, son.
I love you, too.
Musab ibn Umair stepped lightly down the dusty road with the poise of a dancer. His servant led the way with a lamp, a bodyguard to his rear. Tonight, Musab had settled on the one garment that had not been tailor-made for him. The robe that had once belonged to his father, Umair. One of the many things he had inherited when his father died, but strangely, one of the few articles of clothing. Musab reminisced over the things his father bequeathed him. Chests of treasures, priceless ouds and perfumes, horses and camels, the mansion him and his mother lived in Upper Mecca, and all sorts of wealth that protected Musab from ever working a day in his life. But no clothing save the robe he now wore. Musab wore it as a token of pride, a purposeful choice among all the meaningless cloths of silk and velvet and vanity. Musab was now at his destination. His servant paused in front of the tent, fit to burst with music and lights.
I can take it from here, guys. I'll be fine.
Musab's entourage departed, leaving him alone outside the tent. He paused. He experimented with a few smiles. This type of gathering was to have nobles. It needed a smile that showed eagerness with a hint of reservation and bashfulness. No teeth.
Good evening, Otbe. No, that's not respectful. Good evening, Sayyid Otbe. Yeah, that's better. All right, let's do this. Good evening, Sayyid Otbe.
Desert Jinn, take my soul. Young Musab, where did you come from? I didn't hear your servant announce your arrival.
Oh, my apologies, Sayyid. If you wish, I can inform him to announce my arrival now.
Oh, you are a funny one. Welcome, son. Everyone, I'd like you all to meet Musab ibn Umair.
Welcome!
Utba ibn Rabi'a kept a hand on Musab's shoulder as he toured him around the party tent, showing him off like a brand new pet.
I'm very glad you came here tonight, son. I just have so many people I'd like you to meet. This is my brother, Sheba.
Sayyid Sheba, your reputation precedes you.
My eldest son, Walid, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Sayyid Walid, the pleasure is all mine.
Utba had 11 sons, 9 daughters, and 3 wives. Musab had studied the Banu Abdu Shams before this party, but gave up trying to remember all their names. Instead, he gave a firm handshake and a pleasant smile to each member of the family, verbally rubbing them with charm and flattery.
Bech and bech, Abu Walid. I didn't think the company you'd provide would be so humbling. I feel myself a Bedouin in a garden of rare flowers.
Young man, I could sell your compliments to the Emperor of Persia for nothing less than their weight in gold.
It was almost too easy, Mus'ab thought. Egos were easier to grow than palm trees at an oasis. He so hated the vanity and fake smiles. But he thought of his mother and how this would please her.
A few more guests here. Of course, you know your uncle, Uthman ibn Talha. He holds the very special honor of Keeper of the Keys of the Kaaba. Nobody can enter the holy sanctuary without his approval.
Uthman ibn Talha was a stoic man with piercing eyes. He didn't smile and gave a nod to Mus'ab that was almost imperceptible. Despite being his uncle, he had always been an aloof man that Mus'ab hardly knew. He noticed the brass keys of the Kaaba dangling around his neck. They neared the end of the tent, where a few chiefs were lounging around.
Is that the son of Umayr I see?
The little prince of Mecca, eh? This is your guest of honor, Utba?
Ain't nobody invites you to. Get on out of here. My uncle, Suhail.
Mus'ab ibn Umayr. You must be part jinn the way you possess the girls of Mecca. He's a real charmer.
He is indeed. I knew your father, boy. Excellent man. I hear you're every bit as noble.
I definitely try, Sayyid Haas.
And last but definitely not least, my son-in-law Abu Sufyan. He's married to my daughter Hind.
Abu Sufyan was a tall man with a combed mustache and dark robes. He looked like he had just come out of an argument.
And why is this young man here today? He's not going to sing for us, is he?
Well, gentlemen, I am pleased to announce that with the blessings of the gods, I will be taking the hand of young Mus'ab's mother in marriage. Excellent!
Congratulations.
Mus'ab ibn Umayr smiled sheepishly. The party continued on in the night. Utba ibn Rabi'ah was determined to make an impression on his guests. His slave, a feeble man named Addas, scurried around the tent, pouring drinks.
This is from my vineyard down in Taif. Sheba and I go there every once in a while to visit our summer home.
Funny you should mention that. I was planning to buy some date plantations up there as well.
Mus'ab felt disinterested as the older men spoke, each trying their best to outdo the other.
Blessed night to you.
Thanks, Addas, but I'm all right. You're doing a great job, though.
Addas looked astonished, as though he had never heard the words, thank you, before. Mus'ab looked around aimlessly. Sheba was making an inappropriate joke about a night at the fire alleys. Uthman ibn Talha was fidgeting with the key of the Kaaba, as Walid ibn Utba rambled to him about horse racing. Mus'ab found the whole affair boring. A few of Utba's sons tried striking up a conversation with him, but he was just too tired of fake smiles and charms. He found himself sitting silently in the party tent of the empty man who would marry his mother.
I would have disowned him. I tell you, if one of my sons ever became a Muslim, I would disown him.
Disown my own son? That's a bit extreme, don't you think? I'll just wait for Abu Hudayfa to come to his senses. He's young. He'll learn.
And if he doesn't, what then? What happens when our old children start leading others to this faith? What happens when our own families become divided? We can't afford to be complacent, Utba. Not anymore. My daughter, she's challenging me right now, but I'm not going to budge.
Let them have their phase. They'll grow out of it soon enough. Young people are always chasing after some new idea or another. It's nothing to lose sleep over.
Apologies for eavesdropping. But what phase? What are you talking about?
Oh, it's nothing really. Between you and I, my son, Abu Hudayfa,
he's gone out and done something stupid is all. I told him he's not allowed to come back to the party. He comes back to his senses.
Mus'ab ibn Umayr blinked. He hadn't even noticed that the party was one son of Utbah short. 10 were in attendance, but he was sure he had counted 11 when he studied the Banu Abdu Shams.
Your son goes and joins the enemy, and you tell him he can't go to a party? You're soft, Utbah. I would have twisted his arm until I heard a soft little crack.
The enemy? What enemy?
Come now, young prince. Are you seriously telling me you haven't heard of Islam yet?
Gods, I guess I haven't.
Oh, of course he hasn't. Young bachelor like him's too busy charming young ladies and singing ballads of romance.
Mus'ab sensed the discomfort from Utbah's guests, which only piqued his curiosity.
So, what is Islam?
Al-As ibn Wa'il scoffed, his voice dripping with disdain.
Utter filth, that's what it is. Poisoning the hearts of the youth.
You've heard of Muhammad, kid?
From the Banu Hashim? Sure, great guy.
Yeah, we all thought so too, until he turned on us. He claims he's a prophet who speaks to Allah. Now all the youth are following him instead of their actual fathers.
Like my daughter, Ramla.
And my idiotic son, Hisham.
Abu Hudayfa.
Why are they following him?
Well, that's just it. We haven't a clue. His religion is ridiculous. He claims that our gods are just statues and that the true creator of the world is just one.
Mus'ab opened his mouth, but closed it a second later. Not sure if Al-As would like what his response would have been.
The best part? He says we should feed the poor and needy.
Is that bad?
My dear boy, listen to what he's saying. If Allah wanted to help the poor, why didn't he help them himself? Why should we feed someone that Allah could have fed? You see, the logic just don't add up.
Mus'ab blinked, speechless.
What we're really trying to say, Mus'ab, is if the youth in Mecca were more like you, they wouldn't be swindled by his words. Muhammad's words are gaining followers, men, women, even slaves. There's power in that. And power, no matter its form, is something to be wary of.
Adas! Stop standing around like a moron! Go get more drinks for our guests!
Adas flinched and ran off with his pitcher of wine. Mus'ab scratched his chin.
Maybe they see something in this message that we don't. Something that speaks to their hearts. Isn't it possible that they're not betraying us, but searching for something greater?
Greater? There's nothing greater than the traditions of our ancestors. Our children have been deceived, Mus'ab. They've been led astray by Muhammad's lies.
Is it really that bad?
Ramla, she's changed. She's not the same girl I raised. She speaks with conviction, with fire. Sometimes I just want to go to Muhammad's house and...
Going to Muhammad's home will not benefit you.
What are you talking about, Omar? That's where the Muslims meet.
I've heard differently, caretaker. Rumors are going around that they have a secret meeting place.
Come on, Omar. You've been drinking Utbah's good wine for too long.
It is true. I hear they meet every night at the house of Arkham by Mount Safa.
Arkham's house? Come on, Omar. He's from the Banu Makhzum. Do you know what Abu Hakam would do if someone from his clan was a secret Muslim? And letting Muhammad use his house?
If my suspicions are true, even the great father of wisdom does not know.
What if it was true, and Muhammad was meeting with Muslims at the house of Arkham?
Simple. I would walk there on a cold, dark night and knock at the door. And when he answers...
The group fell into a heavy silence. But inside his heart, Mus'ab ibn Umayr was anything but silent. Mus'ab ibn Umair was accustomed to constant attention. Whether it was his mother, a servant, a bodyguard, or even a slave carrying his belongings or shading him as he walked, he was rarely alone. However, Mus'ab understood that this particular matter had to remain hidden. Standing outside the house, his heart raced furiously within his chest.
What am I doing? This is literally gonna get me killed!
But his curiosity was beyond control. This was an excitement a new horse or custom shoes could never achieve. He experimented with a fake smile, raised eyebrows and energetic hands, hoping his charisma would wow whoever was behind the door.
Oh, hello. Can I help you?
Hey, friend, it's your stunning neighbor from Upper Mecca, Mus'ab ibn Umair.
Yeah, I know who you are.
Of course you do. Someone with your good looks definitely has brains to match, right?
Sure.
Hey, so I've been catching whispers about some super secret meeting happening here. And you know me, I'm all about jumping into the coolest, newest stuff. Mind letting me in on the fun? I'd totally make it worth your while.
Look, Mus'ab, I'm not sure what you've heard. Maybe this isn't what you were expecting. It's not exactly a club.
Cool camels. Maybe Mus'ab ibn Umair would make an awesome addition to your little gathering either way. You know me, I always bring the party.
I'm sorry, friend, but I just don't think this is for you. We're kind of in a serious situation, and someone like you might not really fit in. But maybe in the future, when the situation gets a little bit better, you'll hear from us, all right?
Wait, no!
Mus'ab's fake smile faltered. He dropped the bravado instantly.
Please, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be disrespectful or anything. You're right, this is serious. I know this is serious. I'm interested in Islam. No, seriously, like, really interested. I'll admit it, I don't know too much. But the parts I heard sound really neat. I don't think what everyone says about you guys is true. If I could just listen for a bit, you know, just to get the real spiel. And if I bother you guys, I promise I won't come back.
He wasn't sure why tears welled up in his eyes, or why his hands trembled ever so slightly. A wave of embarrassment washed over him. But deep down, he sensed that if he didn't step through those doors tonight, no amount of wealth or privilege would matter. He'd be losing something far greater. Something irreplaceable. The man stared him up and down.
It's all right. I'm sorry for wasting your time. You're right. I guess I don't belong here.
All right. Come on in.
Really?
Yeah. Islam is for everyone, isn't it?
It is?
Yes, it is. My name's Zaid.
I'm Mus'ab ibn Umair.
Yeah, I know who you are.
Oh, that's right. You do.
Mus'ab trailed behind Zaid into Darul Arqam, where he found a group of people seated with their heads bowed, listening intently to the man at the front. He immediately recognized him as Muhammad, the very man who had been so harshly criticized and condemned by everyone. Curiosity burning within him, Mus'ab scanned the room and spotted an empty space on the floor beside a young boy. Without thinking, he dropped down to sit, but the impact was far louder than he anticipated. The sudden noise broke the silence, and every head turned to see what had caused the disturbance. His face flushed crimson with embarrassment, and he quickly mouthed a silent sorry. As he settled in, it struck him. This was the first time he had ever sat down without a servant carefully placing a cushion beneath him. The realization left him uncomfortably self-aware. The Prophet, peace be upon him, continued on with his talk, not raising his voice, but still managing to be heard by every soul and ear in the room. Allah Almighty says, "Whoever comes with a good deed will have the reward of 10 like it and even more. Whoever comes with an evil deed will be recompensed with one evil deed like it, or he will be forgiven," the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. The companions all muttered praises of Allah. The Rasul, peace be upon him, continued, "Allah says, whoever draws close to me by the length of a hand, I will draw close to him by the length of an arm. Whoever draws close to me by the length of an arm, I will draw close to him by the length of two arms. Whoever comes to me walking, I will come to him running. Whoever meets me with enough sins to fill the earth, not associating any partners with me, I will meet him with as much forgiveness. Mus'ab sat in awe. The God Muhammad spoke of was not only eager to embrace his worshippers, but was also overflowing with mercy, ready to forgive all sins and surpassing in his perfection. As the night unfolded, Muhammad, whom his companions called the Messenger of Allah, painted a vivid picture of Allah's beauty and grace. In stark contrast to what the Quraysh had described, the religion of Islam seemed to call for something that the chiefs all lacked: empathy. Indeed, Allah commands justice, goodness, as well as generosity to close relatives, and He forbids indecency, wickedness, and aggression. He instructs you, so perhaps you will be mindful, the Rasul, peace be upon him, recited.
I knew they were wrong.
Mus'ab had never been more excited in his entire life. A religion with one supreme God that loved his creation, who instructed them to be kind and just and fair, everything seemed perfect. Until the Prophet, peace be upon him, concluded by uttering the simple statement, "He will not enter Jannah, the one who has even a mustard seed of pride in his heart."
Messenger of Allah?
He immediately regretted blurting out the statement. He felt everyone stare at him again. He continued, despite the redness of his face.
Sorry, Messenger of Allah, what about a man that likes fine dress and fine shoes?
He feared the answer he might hear. Since the moment he walked into the house of Arqam, he knew he was different. Everyone else was, at best, dressed in humble garments, and at worst, adorned in the rags of abject poverty. Was he too engrossed in the world that there was nothing for him in the hereafter? Was Mus'ab ibn Umair simply too rich to be a Muslim? The Prophet, peace be upon him, showed no sign of annoyance at his outburst. His eyes twinkled gently, and a kind smile stretched across his face. Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Pride is to reject the truth and belittle people, he said. Mus'ab could finally breathe again. This time there was not a shred of doubt in his heart that when he snuck back home that night, he would do so as a Muslim. For the next few months, Mus'ab ibn Umair lived a double life, unenthusiastically shopping with his mother in the day.
I bought you a brand new horse.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mom.
And worshipping as a faithful believer at night.
Assalamu alaikum, ya Rasulullah.
The people of Mecca all noticed that something was off about their resident playboy.
Sing a song for us.
Sorry, maybe some other time.
But the idea that their celebrity was secretly a Muslim never occurred to any of them.
So, you want to learn how to pray?
Yes, Bilal, please. Exactly how the Rasul does it.
The boy who once stood at the top of society was now friends with the likes of Bilal, Ammar, and Khabbab.
There you go, Mus'ab. Now go all the way back down.
But his heart was captivated by the Prophet, peace be upon him, more than anyone else. Whoever wants to hear the Qur'an as fresh as it was revealed, let him hear it from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said one night,
Abdullah, I know you're very busy, sir. Would you mind taking me on as a student to teach me Qur'an?
The voice that once sang ballads in the markets of Mecca now recited the melodies of the Qur'an.
What was that noise?
It was nothing, Mom.
I heard a strange humming coming from your room.
I was just humming to myself, Mom. It's nothing to worry about, I promise.
Night after night, Mus'ab ibn Umair nurtured his soul, until he himself looked indistinguishable from the slaves and servants he now called friends, which made his life in the day feel less and less authentic.
Try the pheasant, son. I had the servants grill it the way you like.
Mus'ab stared with empty eyes at the feast in front of him. There was enough food on the table to feed an entire village.
Mom, what happens after we die?
That's a morbid question, Mus'ab.
It's just a question.
Well, hopefully by that point you would have secured a grandson for me, and he will inherit everything you've left behind.
No, I mean, what happens to us?
Oh. Well, the answer really is simple. Nothing.
Nothing?
Yes, son. Nothing.
But don't you ever feel like that's a little meaningless? We just live life and then we die and then nothing? What about those that did good? No reward? Or those that did evil? No punishment?
You've been hearing Muhammad's talk, haven't you? I swear, his nonsense is infecting everyone. Look, son, life is just that. It's our lives and deaths and then nothing. That's why it's so important for us to enjoy what we have. We are very blessed. Excuse me. We should take advantage of that blessing. Acquire every desire. Lavish in every luxury. Oh, can you imagine if we were poor? Or worse, slaves. What miserable lives we would live.
What if someone had everything, but was still miserable? Happiness would await them in the afterlife, wouldn't it?
Son, an afterlife is just a fantasy poor people made up to make themselves feel better about how unfortunate their lives are. It is honestly pathetic.
Musab suddenly lost his appetite.
That was beautiful, Musab. I love hearing you recite Quran.
Thanks, Sister Sumayya.
He's not so bad.
May Allah bless you all. I know I was a little behind, but you guys helped me catch up. Oh, and I brought some more food from home.
Musab, the sun's almost out. You gotta get home before your mother notices you're away.
Oh, Sokhan, I forgot. I gotta go, guys. Abu Bakr, I'll do that dua you taught me before I sleep. And I won't forget. Eat with my right hand.
Musab!
Sorry, going. Assalamu alaikum.
Musab ducked out of Arqam's home and ran past Mount Safa. Unbeknownst to him, though, someone had just seen him exit. Someone who had just finished locking up the Kaaba with his brass keys.
Mom, I'm going for a ride around Ajyed. I'll be back in...
Musab froze. He did not expect to see the entire Banu Abd al-Dar sitting in the living room. His stepfather, Utba ibn Rabi'ah, at the head of them all, looking like he had just swallowed something sour.
Have a seat, son.
Musab did what he was told, his mouth open. Utba's brother Shayba was standing at the door, as though to block off an escape.
Mom, what's going on?
Do you remember your uncle, Uthman ibn Talha?
The keeper of keys of the Kaaba gave Musab a piercing gaze. His mother didn't wait for an answer.
He claims to have witnessed you exit a particular place last night. Now, I am your mother, Musab. And if you have any dignity left, I'd like you to tell me the truth. Will you do that for me, son?
Yes, mother.
Good. Have you? Or have you not joined Muhammad's religion?
I have.
There was a collective hiss from his family. His mother closed her eyes as though she was overcome by a migraine. Then, in one swift movement, she lunged at the tapestry on the wall behind her and yanked the ornamental spear of the Banu Abd al-Dar.
Oh, no!
Easy now!
Stop! The house erupted in chaos.
Stop, Mom!
Several people wrestled the spear out of his mother's grasp. Uthman ibn Talha held her back as she tried to attack her own son.
How could you? How could you? How dare you disgrace your family this way?
Let go of the spear, woman!
Why would you do this, son? After everything I've done for you. After everything your father left for you.
Mom, you don't know anything about Islam. None of you do.
I know a heaping more about it than you do, boy.
No, you don't. If you all just gave it a chance...
Woe to you.
Woe to you! You're not my son anymore!
Mom!
For a second, the pain Mus'ab felt caused him to think that his mother really had pierced him with the spear.
That's right. You hurt me. If you do not worship the gods of your father, then you're no son of mine.
My darling, I've told you before that these youngsters don't know what they're doing. Perhaps a little discipline would knock some sense into him.
Mus'ab watched in horror as his mother approached him. She raised a trembling hand to the face of the son she had spoiled for years and years. Mus'ab looked back at her with his black eyes. She pulled her hand back to slap his face. The same hand that had brushed the same cheek so lovingly. But she couldn't do it. She had never so much as raised her voice at him, much less a hand.
Lock him up.
Let's go, son!
His family members pulled him off his chair.
You criticize me for being ungrateful? Allah gave us everything!
That's enough of that! Let's go!
We live like kings because of what Allah gave to us, and you worship other than him!
Don't listen to him! He's gone insane!
I'm the only one who's not insane. La ilaha illallah.
Three months later, Mus'ab ibn Umayr opened his eyes. His wrists remained shackled to the cold wall of his room. He had lost weight from lack of food, and the robe of his father he wore was discolored. But he started his day the same way he always did. He prayed. Though he couldn't stand, he raised his head. Though he couldn't bow, he still lowered himself as far as his chains allowed, and he recited Quran with a melodious voice that echoed across the lonely mansion. His beard had grown considerably, and his cheeks were sunken. But Mus'ab was content.
Alhamdulillah for everything, Allah. Alhamdulillah in every situation.
For an entire week, he had been completely alone. The days of his mother coming to his room, weeping and pleading with him to renounce Islam, were long gone. The guards who had once shielded him from overzealous admirers had now become his jailers, though even they had eventually deserted their posts. Mus'ab's gaze drifted to the extravagant white cape and turban that hung on the wall opposite him. As far as Mus'ab was concerned, it had belonged to an entirely different person.
As I live and breathe, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, the Prince of Mecca himself.
Utba ibn Rabi'ah entered his room, dressed in a fine Persian cloak.
Prince in gold, with crown so bright, now dwells in shadows far from light. The throne he held, the cheers he knew, are chains and silence, cold and true. How you feeling, son? You know, I've given up trying to convince my own son to be civil. So don't go thinking I'll waste time on you. Just came to let you know what's become of your family.
The Muslims are my real family. The Prophet, Bilal, Abdullah.
Oh, I know. Don't you worry. It's them I was talking about.
What do you mean?
It's over. They're leaving. Going to Africa, it seems.
Africa?
Yep. Muhammad's orders. Couldn't take the heat here in Mecca. Especially after yesterday.
Yesterday? What happened yesterday?
Oh, you know. A few of your real family members died is all.
What? What are you talking about? Who?
Oh, that's right. You didn't hear. It was a heroic death so far I heard. Brave and true to the very end, Yasser and Sumeya. But you didn't really think they were going to get away with it, did you?
No, no.
Yes, yes, yes. They're dead, boy. And from what I heard, their son dishonored his parents and became an apostate. Kinda like you, Musab. So, in summary, your blood family despises you. Your friends are either dead or running off to another country. And that leaves you with... I suppose nothing. What a desolate failure you have become. Musab ibn Umair, the prince of nothing.
No.
No!
Musab wept and fought against his chains, thrashing wildly like a man possessed. But it was no use. The night's darkness closed in, swallowing him in emptiness.
Let me out of here!
He couldn't eat, couldn't breathe. Hours dragged on, each moment a wait, each breath a struggle. Even existence itself felt like a burden. Yet, he was not nothing. Not as long as he had Allah. And so, the young prisoner's lips stirred. Not to sing of Layla, but to praise the one who sustained him.
And when the man of the whale in anger fled, convinced no power would hold him stead, in veils of darkness he called through, "There is no God but you! Glory be to you!" I was certainly from the wrongdoers.
If Musab had learned one thing about Allah, it was that he answered those who called upon him. And just as the Prophet Yunus had miraculously emerged from the belly of the whale, Musab's wrists, frail from malnourishment, somehow slipped free from the shackles. You're listening to The Sound of Seerah, brought to you by Islam by Touch.